to you by the Georgia Governor's Office of Highway Safety, reminding you to buckle up, Georgia.
Like I tell you all the time, walk in with goosebumps every single day because I love it.
When we were searching for kids, we were thinking, you know, what would the magazine cover for female athletics at Rome High School look like?
How nasty is it and how nasty can it get?
It is extremely nasty. That's a good way to put it.
Welcome to another round of the Football Fridays in Georgia podcast here at Georgia Public Broadcasting. Thanks for accessing us, large device or small, however you are doing so. John here, Hannah there. And that's the last time I have to say this for a while.
I made it back.
You did?
I was a little shaky.
The voice is kind of there.
The voice has not made it back.
No, it hasn't.
But my last podcast of the season.
Yeah.
Baby girl will be here 2 weeks from tomorrow.
Yes.
So when this podcast comes out, it'll be under 2 weeks.
When
the podcast come out.
Uh-huh. See, you get the shoulders working and the neck going from side to side and everything.
I know. Trying to keep up the energy, keep up the spirit, John.
Mm-hmm.
Last 2 weeks are a doozy.
Nikki Nota Palmer is going to be hanging out with us here for the remainder.
She is in studio today.
Yeah, she's
doesn't want to be seen.
No, but it's like, all right.
She's going to be filling in.
What is Nelly doing, and how can I turn him away from doing that?
Mm-hmm.
That's probably the plan. She's already plotting how she's going to make sure that
Nikki, your only job is just to keep John in line on this podcast. That's really what you're here for. So you just
thumbs
sit
ups.
In the chair
yeah.
and keep John going.
Yes.
And that's it. That's the job.
We do have guests here. We are going to talk to we're talking to girl dads, and we're getting their advice here as a part of this as well. But before we start to go into the coaches, and we do have our high school wrap up at the end. Let's see. So you are 2 weeks away?
2 weeks away.
Okay. My sister gave birth Sunday to her second child.
Me.
Yeah, she did. She did beat you.
Congratulations.
Yeah, Luke Evans Mull.
Oh, I love that name.
Yes.
Luke Evans. Great name.
Well, Evans is the family thing, and that's what has always stuck with us. So I now have yet another youngin' that I have to buy stuff for, Luke.
Yep. Add him to the Christmas list.
And it's going to be just a bunch of stuff. And it's like, all right, so don't open this till you're one. Don't open this till you're two. Don't open this till you're three.
Congrats. And shout out to your sister.
Whoop, whoop. Yes.
Amazing.
Exactly. So we had a game last Friday.
We did. Carver Atlanta beat Hateville Charter.
So I'm the one steering us back. This is the first time that this has happened like ever in the history of the show.
Mark this down. Because my brain doesn't normally operate properly.
Marking this down.
But it's really, really.
John steers the show.
There's two rocks
back.
Clicking around up here. We'll call it three. Three rocks for three girls.
Okay, there you go.
Clicking around.
All right, so there it is. So I've steered the show back.
We had a game.
Yes, we had two.
Noonan versus Hughes.
Yes.
Hughes took the win 33-0.
Mm-hmm.
But another rainy night, John.
Yeah. It was, I guess, 2.5 rains. Rains delay. Like mothers-in-law, it's rains delay, and it was by the time, so the first one, all right. So the first one, depending on the school district that you're in, it's either an 8-mile radius or a 7-mile radius when it comes to the lightning and it comes to the delay that you have.
Okay.
With Fulton County Schools, it's 7. And so we are early fourth quarter, and you hear the sirens, and I mean, these are loud sirens. They are embedded at the top of the stands at Hughes, and we can't thank our friends at Langston Hughes for being great hosts, but that siren goes off, and you could have heard it out on South Fulton Parkway. It was that loud.
Wow.
So it goes off, and then I go to the individual there at Hughes who has the radar and has all the measuring devices. Literally, 7-mile radius is the magic number, 6.8 miles away.
Oh, no.
And it was not going to be anywhere near us because they had the weather radar and everything, and it was passing to our north and everything. So it was 2/10 of a mile inside the radius for delay, and we had to take the delay. So then we come back. And then the second that the teams come back out and they start warming up, we got about 3 minutes of action in the fourth quarter, and we got a second delay. And then when we're getting ready to come back out for the second delay, then we started getting thunder, and they were like, yep, we're done.
Oh,
so it was that was the game that we had on the over-the-air side. Noonan, it was Hughes winning 33-0. 142 total yards of offense for Noonan, over 500 for Hughes, and it was a great display for Langston Hughes, the top-ranked team in 5A.
Great. Other news and notes around the state, John. A few shout-outs.
Yes.
From the GHSF Daily, they reported on some scoring streaks and some records.
Yep.
Colquitt County set a state record Friday night for scoring in its 228th consecutive game.
Crazy.
The Packers lost to Lowndes 31-14, but passed Fitzgerald's scoring streak of 227 games. And then West Lawrence running back Ty Cummings set a state record for rushing yards in a game, 615 yards on only 19 carries. I mean, 19 carries is a lot.
So 19 into 615?
15.
All right, so that's
yards?
357, 45. 19 into 45 is 238. 7 into 19, it's
somebody check this.
32.4 per carry.
That's insane.
Yep. So we had on one of our web games, we had somebody with 7 scores, and then Middle Georgia, you have somebody with 615 yards. So it's been a lot of stuff that's gone on this week.
Let me see.
This season.
Do you know the score of that game?
Which one?
West Lawrence.
West Lawrence. As I sit here and smash the microphone.
Yeah,
hang on. And we're getting ready for everything later. 70-55 over Baldwin.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow. They're 6-0.
Yes.
4-0 in region play.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So, and that's one of those where you have to play, like, I think 2 non-region and 8 region games. So that's off to a fast start there.
Awesome.
What else is on your mind?
Our web game, Carver Atlanta Be Hateful Charter, 14-7.
Check.
And we've got a really good one. We have a Region 8 6A battle between Buford and Collins Hill.
Yes, we do.
This week
with
some awesome guests, great storylines.
Mm-hmm.
And flag football season starts today.
As we're talking, yes.
Unbelievable.
I know.
I'm missing everything, too. Last podcast, I'm missing flag football season. I'm missing the regular season. Woo is me.
Yes.
But we have Nikki.
Yes.
We have Nikki.
Yes. So here's the rundown for the show today. Hannah was kind of building it backwards a little bit. It's Drew Swick, the head coach at Collins Hill. He's going to be batting third this week. Then before him, it's the new head coach for the flag football program at Rome. We get to catch up with Jared Hughes and find out
what
it's like for him.
Fresh off the blocks.
Yeah, and so let's say his dance card is full. Well, let's just go ahead and say that that Coach Hughes' dance card.
I thought I was busy.
Man's busy.
Oh, my Lord.
And yeah, so we get to find out about that and find out what it's like to build a program from scratch when it comes to the program there at Rome and flag football. But first, you mentioned all of the games that were going on around the state. There was a big game in South Georgia, and it's one of the toughest regions around. Region 1, Quad A, Benedictine, and Ware. It went to the end before you had a winner. That's not a surprise in this region. We caught up with the winner, Benedictine head coach Danny Britt, to find out how tough his region is this season, how tough it is every season, what it's like to only have to schedule 9 when you want to schedule 10, all the things for the head coach of the Cadets.
Let's check in at Savannah. Hey, Coach Britt, how are you?
Hey, Hannah, I'm doing well. How are you?
We are good. I am hanging in there.
She's got the collective we, and that is absolutely correct.
My last podcast, so I feel very honored to have you guys on. Your 15th season with the Cadets, tell me how things are rolling and how this fall is looking for you and the guys.
Yeah, it's been it was good. It was a really big win for us Friday night versus Ware, and that was huge to start the region that way, especially against Ware County. But, you know, we suffered a couple of losses to start the season, but played Colquitt County. Should have won that game, but did not. Then took a whipping from Buford, which I think a lot of people will. So, and then, you know, we've been able to go 3-0 since then, and we're really excited about where we're at right now.
I know that we are going to get into region play and ask about how tough it is and all that kind of stuff, but because of what you've been able to build there at Benedictine, how difficult is it for you to schedule a full 10 games? Because this year it's another one where you've only got 9. You had it 3 weeks off at one point. How tough is it to schedule for you?
It's impossible, really. I wish we could get more region games put together so to make it where I didn't have to get so many. But I could only get 9. I only got 3 home games. And believe me, my financial guy is not happy about that one.
Yeah.
It's just been really, really tough to get games. And I can promise you, I didn't want to go, you know, Camden, Colquitt, Buford.
Yeah.
I like playing a tough schedule. I really do. But I don't like being ridiculous, but that's what we had to do just to get games. And then again, we're down a game.
Besides the competition, what other challenges does a season like that face, where you only have 9 opponents, you're off 3 weeks? What other challenges does that face for you as a coach?
Well, I mean, the obvious is, you know, you're just not playing as many games, and, you know, it's not really fair to the kids. So we really hope to make a playoff run so you can get them the games they deserve. But extended time off is usually not good. Now, I will tell you, I think it benefited us this past time because we had just played, you know, again, we went Camden, Colquitt, Buford. We really, really pushed them and were extremely intense going into the season because of it. And we needed a break and we needed to get healthy. And we really, it gave us the opportunity to do it. So it actually, I think, helped us at that time. Now, you know, it makes it hard when you're having extended, you know, weeks off. It just makes it difficult sometimes.
So when you have, you're right now 3-2 with the win down with Ware, and I know that not every win is 100% positive, not every loss is 100% negative. What are the lessons that you carry with you from those games in the first half of the season? I guess, what'd you learn from yourself, even in difficult circumstances, when you win and you lose? What do you carry with you from the opposite side of things?
Well, you always learn, and I know Coach Saban used to say it all the time, you learn more from losing than you do from winning, and that is a fact. We should have won the game against Colquitt County, and we went into that stadium, which is an incredible environment, extremely tough place to play, very good program. We should have won that game. We lost because we let our emotions get to us, and we had personal fouls and things that are usually not like a Benedictine team, and it cost us the game. So we learned that lesson, and I don't think we will do that again. You know, we just it sounds like I went and I just made it really hard on them. No, the kids could see it themselves, and it was out of character for a lot of them. And I think they learned from it. We learned from it. And, you know, when things got really, really heated the other night, you know, we didn't do that. We let our emotions be positive for us. So that's just one lesson you learn. But, you know, when you lose, it means the team is good enough to put you in different situations. And if you play teams that you're just going to walk over, you may not realize you have a bad player somewhere until it's too late. You know, you're late in the season.
Let's talk about some of your players. Your quarterback, Stephen Cannon, was 15 of 26 passing for 267 yards and a touchdown. Also rushed for 57 yards on 12 carries in your 3-point win over Ware. Are you happy with his performance this year?
Oh, yeah. Stephen has done a really, really good job. He's unbelievably athletic, a very good quarterback. Hasn't had the opportunity to play a lot of football because he played behind Luke Cromenhawk, mm-hmm. who's currently at Mississippi State.
Yep.
And then he played last year and really was starting to roll and then got hurt for the season. So he's doing really well. And it was a very gritty performance Friday night because he missed a few passes early that, you know, he really should have hit, normally would have hit. We let him know about it and he handled that just fine and just kept fighting and ended up, you know, really doing a great job and winning, you know, helping us win the game. So, he is a very, very tough player, very smart player, and is having a good season.
And I know that a lot of folks gravitate to you and they look at the defensive side of the ball. One of the top recruits in the country for the 27 class, LaDainian Guyton, right now he's headed to Lubbock, and we've got some time with him. So what else does he need to work on before the time that he leaves you there at Benedictine, so he's ready for basically 72 to 64 football when Texas Tech is out there on a Saturday afternoon? What else does he have to work on at the edge?
You know, continue to work, you know, a number of things. Physically, he is a freak.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just, he is just different and unique. He'll work that and get stronger, but just some technique things, playing, you know, technique and playing under control at times, you know, would be things he's going to work on. But he's an unbelievably good football player right now.
And on the flip side of that, one of our favorite questions to ask is, make that kid an offer. Who's a player that's not necessarily being recruited heavily right now that you think has so much talent and deserves a college offer?
I've got several, Larson Little is a linebacker for us who started 4 years, which is unusual. And he is a very good football player and has just doesn't have the offers. Honestly, he's a little short. He's 5'10". So, but he's a very good football player. Also has a 4.5 GPA.
Whoa.
As the president. He's the president of our student body.
Wow.
So he's a very, very special kid that can do a lot of things well.
John, add him to the list.
Yes.
For the video this week.
4.5 GPA. That's about twice what I had in high school.
Yeah.
For someone
I didn't know they did it that way.
It's all weighted
and everything. It's like I'm used to going 4, and if you're taking all kinds of APs, then you can get it as a 5.
I thought 4.2 was the highest.
No, like 5.0 is the highest. And that's like if you get all of your A's and all of the AP classes. That's what a 5.0 GPA is apparently these days. And then you have like 2,400 on the SAT and all that kind of stuff.
We
got to write that one down. Yes, 4.5. Okay. For anybody that hasn't seen Region 1 Quad A football, it is, and as you attested with having to go to, you know, Ware County to start off your region play, it's Ware, Warner Robins, Wayne Perry, who has won state championships and is now playing in Quad A, New Hampstead with Kyle Hockman, we know his pedigree. For someone who hasn't seen Region 1 Quad A football, how would you personify it? How nasty is it, and how nasty can it get?
Yeah, it is extremely nasty. That's a good way to put it.
Nasty. I'm like, John.
It's South Georgia football where you're going in, and it's big time, big stadiums, big crowds, big teams that are playing football the right way. So it is really tough. And I think last year going into the 4A region and it was 4 out of the 5 state championships.
Mm-hmm.
The last 5 state championships in 4A were coming from the teams in that
mm-hmm.
division. So that's pretty unbelievable.
Okay, well, you have 2 home games left hosting Warner Robins, one of those nasty teams this Friday.
They're nasty, yes.
What are your keys to the game, Coach?
Us being who we are and not losing that, we've, you know, since losing early in the season, we've really developed and tried to work being a Benedictine football team, you know, disciplined, intelligent, physical. And if we do that, it doesn't really matter who we play. We can go out and win the football game. So I know that sounds cliche a little bit, but that is exactly what we're trying to be. We're trying to be the best Benedictine football team we can be.
Last question for you. With Hannah becoming a mother
the
third time in short order, as a girl dad, what advice and what other stuff can you bring to the table as a girl dad with Hannah and her husband, John, as they get ready for girl number 3?
Girl parents.
Oh, yes. Oh, so one.
He's like, oh, boy.
So one, just get ready. Have great patience.
Okay. Working on that.
Maybe get a second job to save up the money that you're going to need to take care of these girls forever.
Okay. So far,
tell John
X
about that one.
Check.
Yes.
And as the dad, I can only imagine if it's like my situation, those girls really love that dad and give their mother a lot of gray hair. Mm-hmm. So it's probably, you better just get ready because the dad always seems to be the favorite and the mom is the one that always takes the heat. So.
This is all sounding very familiar.
Just checking. Yes. I just wanted
my
to see.
My girls are 3, over 3.5, and the patience is just starting to... like a meditation routine, you know.
So you need like your own little meditation room. You need you know like a panic like a panic room.
Love their daddy. Oh my gosh, biggest daddy's girls on the planet.
Absolutely. But
thank you for the advice.
Yes, thanks for the advice.
Writing all this down.
Yes, she is. And as always, it's great to catch up with you, Coach. Obviously, we're keeping an eye on you down there on the coast. We'll catch up with you soon, my friend. Thanks for dropping by.
All right, guys. Thank you so much.
And Benedictine, once again, that's one of the toughest regions in the state. So if you're kind of following along on social media this year, follow along with what's going on in South Georgia with that region itself. Friday versus Warner Robins, 3-2, taking on 3-3. One guest down, next one up. One of the busiest men in all of Rome High School history. Why not? Because he's like coaching 19 different things and the 19th thing is the newest. Jared Hughes gets to be the initial inaugural head coach for the flag football program for the Rome Wolves. We get to find out what it's been like to create a program from scratch. Here's our interview with Jared Hughes.
Hey, Coach Hughes, first time on the podcast, growing a brand new program. Happy flag football season. Today is the day. How you feeling?
We are pumped. We are just a few hours away from loading the bus and going to our scrimmage jamboree up at Lafayette High School. So the girls are really excited. Staff is as ready as we can be to start a program. So we'll see how it goes this afternoon.
When this idea came to Rome High School about starting a flag football program, did they approach you about being the head coach for flag? You're also a girls hoops coach as well. I mean, how did all of this work with all these different puzzle pieces? How did this come to pass?
Yeah. So Coach Bowden had approached here and said that this may be a possibility, that this was coming. Have a successful football program on the boys' side, obviously. So we knew that the interest would be there. We have the athletes in the building, and we had almost 75 at tryouts.
Wow.
In the springtime. So the excitement was there almost immediately. And then I am also the weightlifting coach for the female side of things.
Oh my gosh.
So I don't have enough to do throughout the day. So my November is going to be quite interesting. We're still trying to balance the basketball and flag football side of things. My lead assistant, to make it just painful for myself, is also my lead assistant for the basketball team as well. So we're double dipping for about 6 weeks out of the year. But the girls are really excited. We picked a mix of volleyball, cross country, girls basketball, soccer, a little bit of everything. That was kind of the gist of what we wanted to do. We wanted coachable athletes that knew what it was like to be part of a team and a culture. In a pretty unique situation, we got to start that culture from scratch. So when we were searching for kids, we were thinking, you know, what would the magazine cover for female athletics at Rome High School look like? And we were very blessed. We got the majority of those kids.
Two-part question. Do you have kids?
I do. And a very understandable. So I have two little boys, one 5 and one 2.5, and a female in my life that is very understanding, is also a third grade math teacher.
Wow.
Here in the
Wow. You guys are going to have the most fun fall out of anybody I know. What was the learning curve like? So you're the girls hoop coach. You're the weight training coach. When they came to you and said, do you want to be the flag football coach? Did you just dive into learning? Did you get advice from people? What was the learning curve on that?
Well, we have found that the flag community is very gracious. And so we pursued I reached out to Woodstock, who was a pilot school for Georgia flag football. I knew they had their act together. She was very, very gracious to allow us to watch their tryouts and see kind of how things operated from that side. We attended a couple of clinics and a couple of jamborees just to see the X's and O's, what the rules and regulations look like. And that's probably our biggest concern in year one. When you talk with people that have started a program, it's the procedural stuff that gets you, moving backwards, penalties, and understanding the rules and things like that. Quite funny. We started practice day one, and you know, I approached it like a hoops coach, and, you know, we had different stations and different small groups going. And then you realize, well, we literally are starting from scratch. I was speaking in verbiage and terminology that they didn't quite understand. So we came back together really quickly in a big group and rehashed it out. But I suppose that's what coaching is adjusting on the fly.
What are your expectations for year one of this program? I know that obviously people love their athletics up there at Rome High. With this now being added to the stacks, I would imagine that there's a great fan base that's going to be attached to this from all the other sports that you were pulling from to assemble this roster. What are your expectations?
I think we should be competitive instantly just because of that expectation. We have great competitors, I think, is the that's part A of all of this, whether it's it's not necessarily the understanding of flag football. I think that's one of the reasons I was on their short list of people to take this over. It wasn't the football knowledge. It was maximizing the talent within the program. That's what we do for basketball. We may not be as skilled sometimes as our opponents. We're usually in a very, very tough region, but sometimes find ourselves playing for a region championship because we try to maximize what's in the building. Our kids typically play hard. We're very, very disciplined. And if we can get the procedural stuff, which is going to come with just repetitions throughout year one, then we should be competitive, hopefully, at the end.
We've been covering flag football since its inception, and it was really interesting to see you already have 15 games on your schedule as a year one program. I'm so used to years ago, there was like 8 games, 9 games, piecing things together right before the season started. When did you kind of put your schedule together, and how did you know who you wanted to go up against?
We were put in kind of the North Georgia area, so that one was kind of solidified. We were lucky in that Cedartown is also starting a program just south of us, so a short ride there. So that's one of our home games, and they'll be joined by Lafayette for one of those home games at Barron Stadium. Dalton Academy, which is just up the road, is also one of our home games. So just trying to find the close by proximity because, you know, I think there's 300 plus schools now promoting flag. So it's not quite what it used to be even 2 or 3 years ago. I would say in the last 2 years, it's probably doubled. So it's exciting to see the growth. And I think next year we may be able to max out a schedule. We didn't quite do that this year just for the hopes of balancing people's volleyball and softball schedules just to kind of see what these multi-sport athletes can truly balance. It all looks good on paper until that schedule is right in front of you and you've got a softball game followed by a flag football game the next day. So we wanted to be conscientious and protective of our athletes, and we worked really well with the fall sport coaches to make that happen. So really excited to get to that slate of games that we do have.
Where is your composite calendar for your household for the month of October? Do you have multiple calendars? Is it on a Google Doc? Is it a fancy dry erase board? Do you have a touch screen thing like you can get these days posted in the house so you can keep your life straight?
I can't imagine.
How are you going to keep your life straight?
It's usually my wife's index finger, and she points, and I can relate. I go that direction, whether it be a 6 and under baseball game or Kinder music for the little guy. As far as the household items, that is it. And then for flag and basketball, we are pretty much going from 6 a.m. till 7 p.m. For the month of October and November. So it'll be a joyous Thanksgiving. I'm going to eat too much to kind of recuperate and then hopefully rejuvenate for the final few weeks of the season there.
Yeah, your wife sounds incredible, by the way. My last question for you, and we always love to give the Arthur M. Blank Family Foundation a shout out because of their generous grants, a lot of these programs are being able to be started around the state. How did their grants help you? What exactly did you use the money for? And how were you able to start this team there with their grants and equipment help?
Yeah, I think it's plain and simple. I don't know that we would have been able to function as we have without the generosity from this grant. We were able to purchase all of the basic needs in order to start the program. We've got both our home and away jerseys complete with our shorts. We were able to provide both sets of flags, red and gold flags, and it really took the pressure off of having to fundraise because that was one of the issues that I had brought up to administration is we do have it's 90% multi-sport athletes who are already fundraising within our community for volleyball or basketball. So hitting these businesses up for another sport might have really been too much to handle. So the generosity of the Arthur Blank Foundation is really why we were able to start it the way that we are and provided everything that we needed and more. Very grateful for them.
Well, Coach, we can't wait to see how things roll out for season number 1 there at Rome for flag football. Thanks for shoehorning us into that massively busy schedule, especially on a game day.
Yes.
Where you're getting ready for that
first
big game day. The first game.
The first game's
game day. Yes. So we are catching up with Jared right as he's rolling out his program from absolute zero. And we can't thank you enough for doing all of this. Good luck this season. We'll be keeping an eye on you. And thanks for dropping by the Football Fridays in Georgia podcast.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys.
Two coaches down, one to go, and it's time to catch up with one of the coaches getting us ready for Football Fridays in Georgia here this Friday night. And it's from his alma mater, Drew Swick, the head coach at Collins Hill. We talk about that, talk about what it's like having Buford come in to the Hill and take on a very, very tough Collins Hill defense the last four games. Here's our conversation with Drew Swick.
Hey, Coach Swick, you are our GPB Game of the Week. How are you? Thanks for being on the podcast.
I'm doing great. Thank y'all for having me on.
So you started off the season 0-2. Now you've gone on a four-game win streak, shutting out two opponents, including last game against Mountain View, 48-0, I believe the score was.
Yep.
And you've only allowed 11 points in those four games. What kind of set a fire under your team?
We had to learn, you know, as a team, not to make it about ourselves, but to make it about us. You know, team's important. You can't win a game by yourself. And, you know, those first two games, you know, Grayson really did a really good job of, you know, they beat us. And we had made a lot of mistakes. And, you know, that was a culture check and, you know, looking at yourself in the mirror and making sure you're doing everything right. And, you know, as a coach, as a player, you know, within your program. And, you know, then we went into Woodward Academy, you know, started a different kind of bunch of kids, you know, maybe not our starters, but, you know, had to teach some guys some lessons and, you know, it paid off in my opinion. And, you know, always, you know, take a loss to teach a young man a lesson and help him grow as a young man. And, you know, that's what we decided as coach staff. And, you know, Woodward Academy, hats off to them as well. They got a great group, you know, of coaches and players as well. But, you know, going into the last four games that we played, our kids really locked in, our coach staff locked in. And, you know, we got back to the Collins Hill culture and center that we, you know, we preach all the time. And you look at the last five games, we've given up 3.6 points on defense and we scored 33.6 points as an offense. And that's right there with the numbers that, you know, we saw in 21 when we were winning all the games and won a state championship. And, you know, I'm very pleased with my program, coaches and players, and, you know, proud to be the head coach at Collins Hill.
So you mentioned that offense a little bit, and after the loss to Woodward Academy, that was a tight one, 13-7. Then you flipped the switch. What were those conversations like with the offense? Was it just, hey, let's dial it back to zero, let's learn from these two games, and we can do what I know what you guys can do? Was it something like that, or was it a more in depth conversation? It's like, just learn from those two, we're good to go. What was the conversation with the offense?
It was a handful of things. You know, we had guys that were making mistakes and came back in the next week and made the same mistakes. And, you know, we don't preach that. And, you know, we had guys after Woodward Academy really, really look at themselves in the mirror and really begin to lead. You know, we have leaders, but they may not be the most vocal guys. And sometimes you got guys that lead, but they may not be the ones that you want the team to be hearing all the time. And, you know, the guys that were the not so vocal guys really started to step up and grow, and they started doing things outside of football, like our podcast on Wednesdays that we do. And, you know, all that stuff matters, but, you know, getting extra work, making your weaknesses your strengths after practice, and just getting those extra reps, showing up on time, talk about the small things all the time, you know, and how they can win or lose you a game. And, you know, all that time and chemistry, everything matters. And, you know, our kids were able to do that. And, you know, we've just been building and then trusting the process with your coaches, you know, the play calls and things like that. Just really buying into the system. And that's kind of flipped our script the past five games.
It's your third season with the Eagles and your third season as a head coach. What have you learned about yourself these past 3 years at Collins Hill?
I've always been told to, you know, trust the guys that you hire. And, you know, I think in the beginning, my first year, I was doing a lot, you know, still in the game plan and prep. I'm still involved with defense, you know, very heavily. But, you know, I hired these guys to really – you know, do what they do, offense and defense. And, you know, for me, it's, you know, I got two young ones at the house now, and, you know, I don't get to see them all the time, but, you know, it takes a lot of load off me and, you know, allow my coaches to really coach ball and pour in these kids. But, you know, at the end of the day, you got to come in here with juice and energy. You got to have goosebumps when you still walk in the field house, and I do. And, you know, that's going to affect the kids, and your attitude, you know, is going to trickle down on them. And, you know, you got to have that juice and energy every single day and get after it. But, You know, for me, I think, you know, doing more outside of football with our players is always the right thing. And, you know, we've amped that up, and, you know, we've got food coming in every single day. So some of these kids don't eat lunch. They think eating lunch is a bag of chips, and, you know, that's not good nutrition.
I can relate.
So
yeah.
That sounds like John.
It is.
Right? Too, right? But you got to do it. It's not about me. It's about the kids. And, you know, in the beginning, you know, you're trying to do the best job you can, but when you make it about the kids and everything else, you know, that's when really things start, you know, fall in place and be successful.
Being a defensive guy, obviously a lot of eyes kind of gravitate toward Deuce Gerald. So now he's heading to Red Stick next year as of right now. 6'2", 275. My guess is he's probably going to gain another 15, 20 pounds when he gets onto the collegiate meal plan and works toward that. What else does he need to work on to be that edge rusher that can really cause havoc in the SEC during the senior year?
Yeah, he's grown tremendously. Like I always tell him, freshman year he left 10 sacks on the field because of sprint outs. He didn't set the edge well enough, and you know he's going for that sack record. You know that's by was set by Lorenzo Carter, and you know for him it's just being here, you know, doing what he does and being a positive leader. And you know I think you know when you get offense defense, I mean we get after it at practice, and you know sometimes you need that guy like that to be a really positive voice for your offense. You know when they're struggling. And you know, I've seen him the past four games really take a switch in his approach to watching the offense and making sure that he cheers for every single person. And I was making all the defensive guys do that. And, you know, that's why, you know, they say it's a team game. Well, it's a team game. It don't matter if you're offense, defense. But, you know, he's doing that for both sides of the ball now, even on special teams. And, you know, for him, you know, just really doing what he's been doing here and not getting complacent because he's gotten to, you know, LSU or, you know, made it to that, you know, Power Four, that school that he's at. And just push himself every single day, you know, and doing what he's been taught to do and then taking the coaching.
Another personnel question. Is there somebody on your team that deserves an offer that you think has worked really hard and doesn't have one yet?
Yeah, you got a bunch of guys. You know, recruiting is different nowadays, but, you know, I can name a handful. But Stephen Bargelow is an unbelievable kid. You know, he's got a couple, but, you know, he's different. And I've coached, you know, the Jared Bartletts who went to, you know, got drafted sixth round this past year with Travis, and now he's at, you know, Green Bay. But Jamel Tuff is a kid that comes in every single day and really, really does a good job. He's a junior. He's been starter for us now for 2 years and puts his head down and works. And he may not be the tallest kid, but he's one of the best route runners I've ever seen. He's got the best hands, and, you know, he's been open a lot this year. And, you know, it might be that we have pressure coming up the middle or we escape the pocket, but, you know, for him to keep going and just doing what he does every single day, you know, that really stands out to me. And then also, I'll go ahead and say Maddox Henderson. He's probably one of the capstones of our offense in our run game. And, you know, he's a kid that also shows up every single day, runs the ball hard. You know, he had a really, really good run against Parkview that he broke a bunch of tackles and got face mess at the end and ended up scoring. But that's the kind of effort you get from him. But I've seen both those kids grow in leadership. And, you know, they're juniors right now, and this is the most important year. So, you know, those two cats really deserve an offer.
When it comes to being a leader, you mentioned about how you have senior leaders. Have you, in your experience, found that leaders is you can learn to be a leader, or is it something that is already internal when someone walks in the door for you?
It's a great question. I kind of talk about me as a senior at Collinsville. I was lead by example and didn't really be as vocal. And now you look, I'm a head coach. So it can be learned, but, you know, a great example is Atticus Joseph and Stephen Bargelow, Galiaku Kagbo, Levi Semekian. You know, those kids are not the most vocal guys, but those are leaders of your team that are always constantly doing the things outside of practice. You know, so they're always the last ones on the field, first ones down. And, you know, they've learned how to be more vocal. So I've seen Atticus really, really grow because their offense was struggling. You know, you may not have had that voice that was a senior guy that should have been talking, but, you know, he's gradually gotten better and better. And, you know, he got injured as well and then came back and, you know, maybe hadn't gotten the ball as much as he wanted, but he'll never say that. And that's just the type of kids that we do have at Collins Hill. And, you know, for him, he's really become a little bit more vocal and really, you know, getting to that point that we need him to. And we had a conversation with all those guys at the beginning of the year and, you know, they bought into that, but, yeah, you want everybody to be vocal and say the right things, but that's not always the case. So sometimes it is learned. It's progress.
Well, you have your toughest test of the season coming up this Friday against Buford. What are your keys to the game? What kind of things are you working on in practice this week and your message to the team?
Yeah, Yeah, Buford's unbelievable. You know, they're number two in state, and rightfully so. They got great coaches, great players. You know, they're loaded top to bottom, you know, depth chart wise. And, you know, for us defensively, we got to stop the run. And then we got to take away the deep ball and the little medium, you know, medium routes that they're going to throw over the middle across, you know, the, behind the inside linebackers. But they got a loaded backfield that can bring in multiple guys and not miss a beat. And offensively, we just got to be able to, you know, drive the ball, catch it, all the small things that we talk about with the timing, you know, that's going to be very crucial, giving our quarterback time and running back time to block and really get to the second level. All the mistakes that, you know, we've made in the past, those are the things that we've got to really be great about not doing and win the turnover battle on both sides of the ball. And then special teams have been great this year with Philip Bonacci. You know, he missed field goal versus Mountain View, but, you know, very consistent all the way up to that point and getting the ball in the end zone. And, you know, if we can get, you know, them to get pinned back on the 20, you know, make them drive 80 yards versus our defense, it is going to be tough. But, you know, offensively, we got to do a good job. And, you know, to my team, my coach staff, I love y'all. Appreciate all y'all been doing. You know, it makes this job super fun to do every single day. And I look forward to it every day. And like I tell you all the time, walk in with goosebumps every single day because I love it. Yeah. And you know, to our community, show up on Friday, be loud, support us, be positive, and let's go get this W on Friday at the Hill, 1-0.
Ready to run through a wall. And for you, you know what this means more than most folks, considering this is your alma mater. And this is the place that you've coached. You've learned from folks like Kevin Reach and Lenny Gregory. I'm sure that with your time there, you probably got to hang out with Cliff Ramos and wrestling and find out what it's like to be there in that particular gym. What were some of the lessons that those coaches at Collins Hill that were there when you were growing and formulating that idea of being a coach, what were some of the lessons that stuck with you from them?
Outwork your opponents. You know, always be the one person that knows – you know, inside and out your opponent. And, you know, you look at Kevin Reach, he took a chance on me coming out of, you know, Presbyterian College and didn't really know him at the time, you know, and I came back to work out at Collins Hill and, you know, he invited me in and talked to me and, you know, told me when I was ready to come back and I did and, you know, set my student teaching up at GGC because I had to go do 2 years of that to get my teaching cert because I was going military in the beginning, you know, out of Presbyterian, but, you know, ended up switching that because of my wife. And it was the best decision I ever made. But, you know, I learned everything from, you know, Coach Reach. Coach Massey was a real big, you know, mentor to me as well. You know, he's at Parkview before and won all those state championships. And then Coach Gregory, you know, really showed me the 3-4. And, you know, I owe him a lot as well because he gave me my first shot at defense coordinator in 2020 and, you know, helped us bring a, you know, a state championship back to my alma mater. But, you know, you just got to preach these to these kids that, you know, I know times are different, you know, now than when I was in high school, but social media and all that stuff is really outside noise. And you see a lot of bad on social media and that's not the real world all the time. And you just got to look at life as it is and how you pour into people. That's what living is really about. And that's what we try to teach these kids every single day.
The theme of the podcast, John, is Amazing Wives. Mm-hmm. Yes, I don't know if you've noticed.
I know, really. This is Hannah's last podcast, Drew, before she goes and has her third daughter.
Third girl. Do you have boys or girls?
Congratulations. I got a girl and a boy.
Oh, the best of both worlds. We've had girl dads today and boy dads.
Oh, for real? So I got our team photo back. So that's mine right here.
Oh, there it is.
What a great photo.
You got Bennett and then you got Peyton. He's named after Peyton Manning. So he wakes up the same ball.
Stop it right now. So. And your wife is beautiful. Thank you. Congratulations. Just shout out to all the amazing wives. That's just all I want to say, John.
Okay.
It's a great family podcast.
Yes, it is.
Today.
We're looking for it. Thanks for starting your week with us here. We know that we're going to be knocking on your door a lot, whether it's conference calls and getting ready for everything on Friday. Thanks for dropping by the podcast. We'll be seeing you on Friday night, and we're looking forward to this matchup with you and Buford tonight, or on Friday.
Yes, sir. Thank y'all so much for having me on, and y'all have a great week. Go Eagles.
All right, that was the full gamut.
Ooh, that was a good
one. Football Fridays in Georgia is going to be a fun one because of all the prospects that we know. You've got Cottrell Webb and Deuce Gerald's, the two big defensive edge rushers for Coach Swick and Collins Hill going up against that big offensive line that we've seen once already this year. So that's going to be one of the big tests, I think, for Collins Hill in this game. Got to hear from Coach Swick about it. And nothing like building a program from scratch, yeah?
Yeah, and nothing like a new coach that's literally ready to run through a wall.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have a veteran coach like Coach App who's always cool, calm, and collected.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got kind of the the veteran, the new guy. You've got these two awesome powerhouse programs full of offense and defense. It's going to be a really, really fun game.
Yep. So those. So you have Drew Swick from Collins Hill going up against Coach App from Buford. Mm-hmm. You've got Jared Hughes building the Rome product from scratch. You've got Danny Britt, the head coach at Benedictine, who just happens to be in one of the toughest regions in the state that kind of flies below the radar.
A darn tootin' good podcast,
A
John.
Darn tootin' good podcast, she says. Okay, so now it's time to take a peek at everybody's results from the past week.
And hey, Lassiter, we're still on our high from the 49-7 win over Pope because we were on a bye week. Mm-hmm. So we are still living the dream.
So she won the bye week. There you go.
Living the dream, won the bye week.
So I know that Goodwill Hunting has to tell us what happened in Virginia because I don't have that information off the top of my head. President Reagan, what happened with Topsail? Do we know? We know what happened with Topsail? Anybody?
Is
anyone?
Reagan in there?
Anyone? No.
I don't think Reagan's in there.
No, well then fine. We don't find out what happened
Reagan's
with Topsail either. Then we have...
it's a small crew today.
I know. Sandy's Decatur beat Dunwoody by the score of 27-10. We also have, let's see, Parkview losing 32-20 in the Battle of Five Forks Trickham to Brookwood. And so that's multiple households that are sad about that one. Nikki Notapalma. Also on the board, Lakeside over Tri-Cities, 41-0. There goes Tokyo Mark Chilla. Chattahoochee loses to Lanier. Pickens loses to North Hall. Darlington, Ambassador Jeremy took it on the chin.
Jeremy's now on vacation.
That's
but
right.
King James is back
and
from
so,
vacation.
And so Pepperell beat Darlington. And I think that's it for everybody. I think Central Macon also had the bye, so the Chargers could kind of keep up with everything. That is what happened this week. We need advice. We need advice, sir. Marky Mark, if you would please.
What advice do we need?
I don't know. That's why we always ask Marky Mark for advice here. I mean, whether it's about stretching or prog rock or anything else that's going on. What advice do you have, sir, as we get ready for yet another week?
I mean, you brought up prog rock there. I will say, like, I am actually currently reading right now a book about the history of hair metal.
Okay.
Sounds just
it's very, very. That's very 80s of you.
Sounds
I mean,
amazing.
It's an extremely 80s time. I mean, we don't need to bring back hair metal. What am I talking about?
Is it an 80s time?
I think so.
Okay. I mean, yeah, we're in the
80s. I always live in the 80s.
Okay.
Ooh, John, I might that's rough, man.
I'm sorry.
Hey, look, you give me a good Miami Vice rerun from seasons 1 through 4, we're in good shape.
Actually, you're right. Michael Mann directs that. Mm-hmm. Never mind, I'm back in.
See, that's all it takes. So as always,
Was that advice?
I think it was more like don'ts instead of do's. Yes, Marky
okay.
Mark? Yes, it was more like don'ts this week.
Yeah, don't do hair metal, but watch more Michael Mann movies. Watch Heat again. Okay. That movie's incredible.
Oh, yeah, but you need an entire evening to make sure that happens because it's like
true.
2 hours
it's
and
3 hours.
Yeah, I was going to say.
So
make an evening if you're going to watch that movie. And the from what I understand, when De Niro and Pacino were in their scene in the diner, basically all he had was two cameras, and he had one camera on each guy. To where he could register all of their facial expressions and everything, and the cutting back and forth was key in that. He just had two cameras, one on each guy for that big scene.
All right.
And so you can go back and watch that, but you need a full evening to do it.
Okay.
All right, so you're going to give me that, whatever that is?
Oh, you are going to give me that? Whatever,
you,
whatever
you said you've got a gift for me.
You
I was
always
like,
have a gift for me.
Yeah.
Not always. There could be more gifts, honestly.
Great. Mm-hmm.
You have gifts for me, so I made you and Patty my infamous sourdough.
Okay.
Cinnamon.
Oh.
Did I say pumpkin?
No.
Pumpkin cinnamon swirl sourdough loaf.
Wow.
You warm it up.
I think I just gained 10 pounds.
You slice it.
Okay.
You warm it up for about 10, 20 seconds with some butter.
Okay.
Ooh.
Okay. Mm.
It's so good.
And this is what happens when she's out
it's
the
so
door
good.
Is I get bread.
Yes.
I get bread when you leave.
Yes.
Okay, so what
Not
happened?
Just any bread.
No, it's Hannah's homemade
bread. Amazing.
Hannah's bread. Homemade bread.
I will just say I am very proud of my sourdough skills.
As you should be. This is your last one for a while.
I know, John. I'm sorry. I made it as long as I could.
I know.
But
the voice didn't.
The
you did, but the voice didn't.
Honestly, I was like, my husband, John, was like, Hannah, there's no way you're doing another podcast. I said, I'm doing it. And you know what's so funny? Kevin Gerke called me this morning, too, and he was like, I was wondering if you were going to do the podcast. And then I thought, well, she's too stubborn not to.
Mm-hmm.
So here we are.
Mm-hmm.
Last one. Both my husband and my boss are like, there's no way Hannah's going in. And I'm like, I'm going in.
Mm-hmm.
Driving like 70 on the highway like a grandma, making sure I don't
So the hands are like the hands are like 11-1, and you're driving 70 miles an hour
in the right hand lane. I don't think I've ever done that before.
Wow. I mean, that's strong.
My John was worried about me.
We all are. And we just want you to have the best birth humanly possible to continue to add to the Gooden clan.
We'll send you pictures.
I know you will.
We'll stop by games.
Yeah, sure you will.
We'll do all
you
the things.
You will not.
Maybe not this season.
Not recently.
We'll bring her. We'll bring her. Maybe we'll pop into the championships because I got to see Nikki too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. See, so. We got to get the whole family credentialed for the championships.
We're passing the baton. It'll be Nikki.
Yes.
She's going to be way better than me on this podcast.
No, only one of us is allowed to be self-deprecating here.
Way better.
That's not how this works.
At least she'll be able to understand what she's saying.
Yeah. That's another go round of the Football Fridays in Georgia podcast. Hannah's about had it. You want to hit your mute button so I can toss this home? There we go. You know, we're going to miss Hannah to death. We absolutely are. And we're going to keep an eye on everything that's going on with her. We'll keep you posted. Obviously, you can follow her on social media as well. Nikki Noto-Palmer will step into the pilot seat starting next week. And
whoop, whoop.
It's going to be fifth gear from here all the way through the championships. Once again, Buford Collins Hill over the air, Cartersville and Cass on the web. Big matchups in both regions coming up this Friday on the Football Fridays and Georgia broadcasts. However you access all of our stuff. That's the official term. For Nikki, for Hannah, for me, for everybody behind the glass, I'm just John. Thanks for dropping by the Football Fridays in Georgia podcast, everybody. Play it safe, everybody. Enjoy the game.
Brought to you by the Georgia Governor's Office of Highway Safety, reminding you to buckle up, Georgia.